Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, January 21st, 2014. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Alfred is getting a real hoot out of the beginning of the program today. And, of course, Alfred, you got to stop giggling like
I'm not giggling. Giggling is undignified, Melody.
You're giggling. So, knock it off, and there's nothing giggling about the price of gold today.
Frank did it. He did it first.
God, like children. Boys are like children.
That's exactly right.
All right. Boys will be boys, as they say.
Yes.
Is that true?
It's true a lot of the time. It's not necessarily true at my age, but it's still kind of true.
Well, let's see what gold did anyway. Did gold grow up today? Oh, not really. We have gold down 1260 today, coming in after a holiday, after being closed yesterday at $1,243. Silver's down 40 cents today at 2002. Platinum was down 16 at 1457, and palladium was down a dollar at $751. The USDX today trading again over 81, 81.11, up 01, and crude oil today up 62 cents at 94.88. Paper markets today were trading lower earlier. The last time I took a peek, still down 44 points at 16,414. NASDAQ up 28, 42.25, and the S&P up 5 at 18.43, with the 10-year yield trading, not trading, 2.82% on the 10-year yield. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody, I've had my humor, my daily dose.
Your daily dose of giggles.
Yes, I've had my daily dose of humor here. And I thank Frank for that. Yeah, it just cracks me up. I'm
Get
just
it?
In a good mood. I'm in a good mood today, Melody. What can I tell you?
Get it out.
We're working on it. It'll come out as it comes out. Well, we'd probably be more during the course of the program. So in any case, what's next, Melody? What are we going to talk about?
I have no idea.
All right. Here's something. The abortion issue. The today or yesterday, I'm not quite sure, is apparently the anniversary for the Roe versus Wade decision, and which legalized abortion in all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason in the United States. This goes back to 40 years ago, Roe v. Wade. Since then, according to official reports, there have been more than 55 million lives have been taken by abortion. I'm reading from an article where whoever wrote the article, maybe a young woman, I'm not sure, she considered this, and she's become overwhelmed by the tragedy for the babies, their mothers, their fathers, families, and all of us. What is our nation missing? What is the price our society is paying for this ultimate deceit of abortion? Today, the 27-year-old, that's the author of the article I'm reading from, is writing to you as a survivor of that decision. The undeniable fact is that nearly a third of my generation, this is the author's generation, she's younger than I am, of course, nearly a third of her generation is missing. We're missing brothers, sisters, cousins, friends, husbands, and wives. She complains about the Roe v. Wade decision, and she points out that this youth generation, meaning the kids that are, been born since 1973, she claims it's the most pro-life generation of young people since 1973. We're even more pro-life than our parents' generation. And she says, and this week our presence will be known as our generation will be the predominant participants in Wednesday's March for Life in Washington, D.C., and pro-life rallies across the nation. This week we will be proudly carrying our I Am the Pro-Life Generation signs. Planned Parenthood and abortion industry will watch their target audience slip away. So my first question, Melody, is do you think that today's youth, let's say people in their 20s, maybe through their 30s, I'm not sure, younger, do you think they're the most pro-life generation since 1973 when the Roe v. Wade decision was made? Is that hype, or is there truth to this?
I don't know. It kind of surprised me because you have this I think there is a change because you do have so many unwed mothers now. I think perhaps that could be the case. I think what I found interesting is this, that a third of a generation is missing. That's a lot.
Yeah, I understand that. It even strikes me as an exaggeration. I'm not sure if a whole third. But I'll also say this. I've talked to a man 10 years ago, probably, who was actively, he'd been involved in the anti-abortion movement for a couple of decades. And he was there. He wasn't casual. It's what he did with his life. He fought against abortion. And he was convinced that the number of reported abortions was no more than half of the number that were actually taking place. He said it was common knowledge within the industry that for every abortion that was reported, there was at least one other abortion that was not reported. And if he's correct, instead of 55 million children being aborted, of course, the number might be over 100 million.
That's true, yes.
And the reason it's shocking, it's astonishing, it's disgusting, it's unjustifiable. And I know a lot of people would say, "Oh, that's not true. The abortions are okay." Ah, you're full of crap if you believe in abortion. All right, it just isn't right. I can understand maybe once in a while under extraordinary circumstances, yes, it may be necessary. I don't know. But it isn't necessary for 55 million and certainly not for 100 million. And some of the consequences of these abortions, they talk about illegal aliens come into this country to take the jobs that Americans don't want. In fact, they come in to take the wages that Americans don't want. But the truth of the matter is, if we hadn't been busy murdering tens of millions of our own children, there wouldn't be any need for illegal aliens in this country. If they came into this country, they might be able to break in, but what would they do besides wander around in the woods until they finally got hungry and decided to go home? We wind up needing the illegal aliens to some extent because we've murdered the children who would have mowed our lawns and picked our fruits and vegetables and worked on our farms and provided the labor, you know, that you need for, you know, digging ditches, building homes and whatever. We murdered our own children. And as a result, we now have to deal with illegal aliens. And as a result, the nation is imperiled. And the nation, as it once was, will not survive because a bunch of jackasses have decided it was okay to murder our own children. It was criminal. It was stupid. It was treasonous. It was wicked. I don't know. Those people are going to have a bunch to answer for. They better pray there is no God, because if there is, the people on the Supreme Court and Sarah Weddington, who was the attorney who represented Doe in the Doe v. Wade case, and the courts and the courts that ruled on this thing, I mean, they's going to come. They're going to have some explaining to do. I've got plenty of explaining to do for my own, but I guarantee you I don't have to account for 100 million dead babies, or at least 55 million. That won't be on my list of, how do you explain that, Al? You know, you see St. Peter, whatever. I just don't get it. It's astonishing to me, but it is encouraging, at least, to hear someone writing and saying, this youth generation is the most pro-life generation of young people since 1973.
It's pro-life, but I think there's still such a disconnect because, again, there's so many unwed mothers, the family structure. You have so many that are having babies, and the parents. Is it the parents? There's so often the grandparents of these babies of unwed mothers, they think they have another chance. They help, and they end up actually taking care of the babies. Mm. So, I mean, which is okay, but I think there's still a gap in our family life. It's, that part is not coming together. That continues to weaken that structure. So.
I've seen statistics that over 50% of the children that are conceived in the African-American community are aborted by their mothers. Over 50%. Within the Hispanic community, it's about 30%. Within the white community, it's down around 15%. White community is the least likely to abort right now. And I have a hunch that it's the white community that is that's described as the youth generation that is the most pro-life since 1973.
Well, I also think now that they have all of the schools, there's laws that allow these kids to get protection. To keep them from having babies also, where, you know, 20 years ago, you know, anyone 13 that was asking for birth control, wasn't available.
You know, that's part of the problem with this thing. You know, people are growing up so fast in this country right now. Yeah. I can remember when I graduated from high school, there were probably only two girls in the entire high school class. They all wore blazers. But there were probably only about two that actually needed to. We graduated from high school, and we were still children. And it was only a few years later, I remember going back, and I was working. I was doing some excavation work around the high school, very high school that I graduated from. And I was back there probably 5 years later working with a construction company. And I saw some of those girls coming out of that high school. My God, they looked like college girls to me. And it wasn't just a few of them. It was most of them. And it was surprising to me. And clearly, children are just growing up so much more quickly today. And it has to do with hormones in the... Some people allege that the milk cartons and the hormones in the cows, hormones that leach out of the plastic in the plastic milk cartons. There's chemistry that's going on here that's bad for us. You can't have 10-year-old children going into their first period. You just can't do this. This is insane. You know, one of the highlights of an advanced species is an extended childhood. You take a primitive species like a snake, it hatches out of an egg, it's ready to go. A snake's got everything it needs. It's not going to learn much in its life. It doesn't need any parents to teach it how to do things. As you move up the ladder, you come to species that have longer and longer childhoods, and it is a hallmark of an advanced species. We are having a shorter childhood. We're becoming adults at a much earlier age when clearly we can't handle it. What are you going to do with a little girl who's, you know, becoming sexually active at age 12? Good God. I mean, these are problems we face, and what do we do to deal with them? These are not easily overcome. Some of the things, for example, the idea that the hormones are leaching out of hormone-like chemicals are leaching out of plastic containers, milk containers, and causing children to become adults more earlier than they would otherwise. That can be controlled if anybody has the guts and the determination to stand up and say, all right, this has to stop. Care how much you're making. You're not going to poison the children. You're not going to cause these children to go into puberty 3, 4, 5 years earlier than they would otherwise. It has to stop. And yet there are people that make money off these deals, off chemicals, off of these plastics. And plastics are just one of them that I know about. I have no idea how extensive this is. But it's not been considered. It's not been treated. And you wonder, got little girls becoming pregnant. I don't know. Now what do you do with them? Do you abort the baby because the mother is a child? Or do you make the child pay the price and learn the lesson? If you're going to play that game and then she becomes a lesson, an object lesson for the rest of the kids in her class? This is not easily done, but it involves a moral breakdown. And abortion is a big part of it, but it's not the only part. And these are questions, you know. You go ahead and get a hold of Solomon next time you see him, and you say, well, how should we handle these questions? And Solomon's going to say, hey, don't ask me. I don't know. Very difficult, very difficult.
Well, you know,
we're going to take a break. Go ahead.
You talk about the milk cartons, but you also have to go to Hollywood. I mean, these kids are being stimulated by television, the cartoons. Just everything. And the pornography is rampant. The internet, they have access to it. So I think it's more of a stimulation than what comes from the hormone of the milk. And you can't control
example.
These kids.
It's a combination. Point in a constellation of problems that are contributing to a big effect that's no good for anyone. We've got to take a break, Melody. And we're here on Financial Survival. Melody and I will return in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
You're listening to AVR, the American Voice Radio Network. We're on free-to-air KU band satellite at Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, frequency 11836 vertical, with symbol rate 20.770, PID left audio channel. Visit our website at theamericanvoice.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What you got for him, Melody?
We are continuing the special Mint State 61 $20 Liberties or St. Gaudens for $1,450. That includes all your costs. If you want to upgrade to a Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens, it's only $60 more. These are just incredible prices for $20 gold pieces. And we're going to continue the $1,600 silver special, 40 silver eagles, 1 ounce silver eagles, along with 40%, or I should say the 90% silver, junk silver, a $40 face value. Everything includes shipping costs, no extra cost to you. They just need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And you can also listen to archives of this program that are posted on a daily basis, and I think you can go back a whole year and a half if you miss us so much. A lot of things to listen to.
You know, we're talking about the abortion issue when we closed the program, or the first part of the program, down for commercial breaks. And some people would wonder, how did we get into this mess? And I'll answer that question. And the question goes, it is a matter of spiritual warfare. And I know a lot of people sit back and say, oh, that's crazy talk, spiritual warfare, the man's out of his mind. No, I'm not. This country started with an extraordinary principle that is unprecedented in Western political history. We said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the second sentence in the Declaration of Independence. Third sentence says that to secure these rights, meaning the God-given, unalienable rights that were declared in the previous sentence, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. They're telling us that the purpose of government was to secure the rights that were given us by God, by our Creator. Now, what's that got to do with abortion? What it has to do is this. Under the Declaration of Independence, it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. It follows that the unalienable right to life, for example, which is one of the three that are mentioned, there are more, but one to life, it attaches as an attribute of your creation. Again, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. When do you get those rights? You get them from your Creator, and you get them at the moment of your creation. For those of you that are students of the Bible, you may understand that I believe good Lord was talking to Jeremiah at one point. And he said, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. Which implies that we were created before we were conceived. But it's clearly true that our creation, mine and yours, and that of all of the little babies that were aborted, the creation took place at the no later than the moment that the sperm and ovum united when the child was first conceived. And under the principles in that Declaration of Independence that we started with in this country, that child, from the moment of conception, had the God-given unalienable right to life, and according to the third sentence, the purpose of government was to secure those God-given unalienable rights. Now, that's 1776. That's the Declaration of Independence. That's fundamental principles that this country was built on. Fast forward to the 14th Amendment that was enacted in 1868, 3 years after the Civil War. In Section 1, the first sentence of the 14th Amendment says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. What's that got to do with abortion? It says all persons born, not all persons created, not all men and women created, all persons born. And it opened the door for abortion. As long as that baby was still even partially in the birth canal, the baby could be aborted, and this explains these abortions where they scoop the brains out of the baby when the baby is within, who knows, 90 seconds of being completely removed from the mother's womb. Until the baby was fully born, this, under the 14th Amendment, they do not recognize it as anything other than a mass of protoplasm. They don't see it as a man, a woman, created in God's image, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights as per the Declaration of Independence. And this 14th Amendment opened the door for this abortion holocaust. And it's not a small thing. It is evidence of spiritual warfare. Your government doesn't want to perceive you as a man or woman made in God's image, as per Genesis 1, 26 through 28. They don't want to perceive you as endowed by your Creator with certain unalienable rights, as per the Declaration of Independence, because the government does not want to protect your God-given unalienable rights. Your government no longer wants to serve you. Your government wants to rule you, and they accomplish that by treating you as nothing more than a damned animal. And for those of you who think that is radical or extreme, you can read Title 21, Section 321, which are definitions, which include the definition of food, animals, and devices, and they mean medical devices. And all three of those definitions include the phrase man or other animals. If you analyze that phrase, they didn't say man or animals, they said man or other animals. This is not a small thing. It means that the government regards you and me and Melody and your children and the babies that have been aborted, they see us all as nothing but livestock. If you are nothing but an animal, you are not endowed by your Creator with certain unalienable rights. If you are nothing but an animal, you are not a man or woman made in God's image. And this is powerful, powerful information if you can grasp it, if you can understand what it means. Before the Nazis went after the Jews in World War II with gas chambers and whatever, first thing they did is they had the 1935 Nuremberg Laws, which declared the Jews to be Untermenschen, Unter meaning under and Mensch meaning man, subhuman, animals. Once you declared the Jews to be animals, it opened the door to gas chambers and genocide and Holocaust. You could kill the women and the children and the men and the non-combatants. You could kill them all, exterminate them like a hive of wasps or a nest of rats. And you could do it because they'd passed laws to declare these people to be animals. That's what made the Holocaust legal. And that's exactly what will make a similar Holocaust legal in this country, is the presumption that you and I are nothing but animals. And this isn't new. It goes back to the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act. You can put that in the computer yourself. You can search for it. 1906, Pure Food and Drug Act. Go ahead and plug it into your Google search engine, and it will turn up that law. You'll find it. And you go down to Section 6. You will see that it defines both food and drugs in terms of man or other animals. Not man or animals, man or other animals. It means they deem man to be nothing but an animal. And as such, you really are, from the government's perspective, nothing but livestock on the global plantation. And I'll guarantee you what I've just said, and I've been sued. I have been sued. Some of you say, well, that's one man's opinion. I've been sued for $25,000 per day by the Attorney General of the state of Texas. That's $9 million a year for the manufacture and distribution of a controlled substance. The controlled substance was colloidal silver. It's the same law you might use with cocaine and heroin or whatever, but in this case it was colloidal silver. And I was only peripherally involved with some people that were manufacturing and distributing colloidal silver, and they're paying taxes. It was legal business. They decided they were going to knock it out. I raised this issue. That's where I first discovered this. I was the last of seven defendants in that case, and each one was threatened with fines of $25,000 a day. Case started 5 years before I was even added as a defendant. The Texas Attorney General had spent nearly $500,000 and 6 years on that case. But I advanced a line of defense, a freedom of religion defense, that realized that the drugs, the definition of drugs used by the federal government of the state of Texas, only applies to animals. And I told them, I'm not an animal. I am a man made in God's image. I am endowed by my Creator with certain unalienable rights. And they dropped the case after investing nearly $500,000 in 6 years. They dropped that case. This is not fantastic, radical nonsense. Your government is at war with you. Your government treats you and your children and your unborn as animals. And those of you who accept this, those of you who think you got a good congressman, you think you've got a good senator, you think you've got a good president, you're crazy. You are caught in spiritual warfare right now, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want you to be men and women made in God's image as per Genesis 1, 26 through 28. They don't want you to be men and women endowed by your Creator with certain unalienable rights. And in order to remove you from that status, and in order and place you in the status of subjects, slaves, property, animals, they have to define you as animals. And that's what they've done. And there are scores of similar statutes throughout the United States Code and state codes, where they deem the people to be animals. And that's what they've done. 14th Amendment laid much of the foundation for that. It is disturbing. It's infuriating. Your government has been committing treason against you and me and our children and our parents, and it's been going on for over 100 years. And almost no one sees it and understands it, although that's changing. The abortion is just one manifestation of spiritual warfare. They try to put this off as if it's just a convenience or it's humane. It is ungodly. It is wicked. It is satanic. And they do it because that is the nature of your government. Despite all that crap about we're here to help you, they are not here to help you. What else, Melody?
Well, it also confirms with when you see the removal of religion from our schools, mm-hmm. from our courts, from our daily lives.
Exactly right.
They don't want us to read the Bible. They don't want us to understand. They control. They have controlled our right to our religion. And we see it every day. We have how one person can have items of Christianity removed from various places. It's amazing how it can be done, and how it was done, and how it is being done.
But they succeed in doing that because people don't realize that we are caught in an era of spiritual warfare. And it may not be fair to even say it's an era of spiritual warfare. I would actually argue that we've been engaged in spiritual warfare since Genesis in the Old Testament. It's been ongoing. It gets stronger. It gets weaker at times, but it is persistent. There is constant spiritual warfare going on, but we are taught to approach the world from a humane perspective, not a spiritual perspective. We are taught that, we just have to allow the babies to be aborted, and we need to get rid of religion because that might offend some people. Can't talk about that. That's not politically correct. And we buy it because we've lost our memory of the spiritual foundation on which this nation was built. We've lost our understanding of fundamental spiritual principles, and because of that, we are blind to the assaults that take place on a regular basis, daily basis, if you care to look around. They're pushing us in that direction. They're trying to remove us and separate us from God. That's what's really happening here. And a lot of people, again, I'm sure they'd sit back, that man's crazy. No, I'm not. I've been there, done it, like I say. Been through a lawsuit. The Attorney General of the state of Texas invested nearly $500,000 in 6 years. It stopped when we advanced the idea that we were not animals. They dropped it. That is unprecedented. And incidentally, that suit was inspired by the FDA. They're the ones that initiated the suit. The Food and Drug Administration, they wanted to make some victims of the original three defendants, husband, wife, and their corporation, and then they wanted to pursue and get the next guy and his corporation and his trust, and finally I was added. And they were going to make lessons of all of us. They're going to fine us all enormous sums and ruin our lives in order to scare the rest of the people who were making colloidal silver into abandoning that business. But we had a freedom of religion defense, and it stopped their little party. Stopped them, right? With the grace of God, stopped them. This is real. This is not just radical talk, it's real. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We're actually going to talk. We're going to get off. We're going to move on to something other than the abortion issue right now. And spiritual warfare, as wound up as that can get me, we're going to before I stroke out right here on the program, we're going to have to take something a little less infuriating, like George W. Bush or maybe Obama. Or the Congress, or the Senate, or the Supreme Court. They're a little less infuriating. What do you got, Melody?
Well, today the Davos meeting started over in Switzerland in 2014, and they actually were convening under the theme, The Reshaping of the World, Consequences for Society, Politics, and Business. And, of course, I read earlier today where 85 people actually control over half of the wealth of the world.
Yep.
And, you know, those 85 people are also controlled by probably three or four people. But they determine what goes on in the year, and, they get involved in wars in Syria. They talk about and how they can benefit from it, how they can make and have much more wealth than what they already do have. But before we go on, Al, we do have a caller from, I believe, Florida. We have Harvey calling from Florida.
Well, Harvey.
Hello, Al. Hello, Melody. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? What you got for us?
Well, I was listening to you talk before. I see you were all worked up, but you know, you seem to forget that this country was conceived in death and destruction of the Indian tribes who are living here amongst without our help, and the slaughter that we did to the Indian tribes, the Trail of Tears, where we marched whoever was left alive across the country, the Seminole tribes in Florida, and we were conceived in death and destruction. So, but do you
well, that's been common to the, that's been common to human history. You know, for how, go ahead and point to a time when that wasn't true. And we can sit back and lament the poor innocent Indians, but I'm going to guarantee you those Indians didn't have any problem whacking the neighborhood tribe or the neighboring tribe. They'd go over and raid them and kill a few of them and, you know, steal some of the women or whatever they wanted to do. It's not as if we're just talking about the sainted Indians versus the evil settlers. I'm not here to defend taking property per se, but I am going to say there's nothing all that extraordinary. It's part of human nature, part of human history. I'm not in favor of it. I'm not justifying it, but I'm not going to sit back and say one group is completely wrong and the other group is completely innocent.
Yes, but we weren't the great Christians that came here with
some... No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And here's one of the points. My argument was this. We had something in the Declaration of Independence that was unprecedented. There has never been a time in the history of the world where a nation stood up or any group of people stood up and said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, all right, including Indians, are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Nobody's ever done that. They've always started out and say, well, we, the people putting the government together, we're the ones that are special and the rest of you are a bunch of idiots. It's never been done before. It was an extraordinary blessing. It was an extraordinary gift. And one of the points I'm trying to communicate is we have lost it. We never understood it, perhaps to begin with, as a people. And the people who did understand it in government, they have pushed us away from that concept. I said, no, we're just animals and livestock. And if we are, what difference does it make if we shot some Indians? Doesn't make any difference if somebody shoots us. Why should it make some difference if we shot some Indians? You know, the whole reason the argument makes any sense that it was wrong to simply take this country by conquest is ultimately the belief that the Indians are moral people, that they are ultimately made in God's image, and they're not just animals. If they're just animals, then why not? What's the difference between shooting them or you or me? If we're just animals, and that's what the government says today, what difference does it make? Kill them all. Why not? It's all just survival of the fittest. Might makes right, and whoever's got the fastest gun. If my gun is faster than your bow and arrow, you're in big trouble. And why not? If you're just an animal. And that's the point I'm trying to get across. We have lost that. I won't say that it was here for long, but I will say that it was here. That understanding was the beginning of this country, but we walked away from it.
Well, that they did that Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Don't forget, they were treating the Indians were locked up in pens in the West, and the blacks, which were still slaves. So, you know.
Well, the Declaration of Independence didn't allow for slavery per se. It didn't object to it. It didn't expressly object to it, but it did say all men. And the only question then is whether the blacks, the African Americans, are they or are they not men and women? If they are, then they should not have been enslaved. But, of course, people sit back and they say, well, wait a second, I got a business here. I'm involved in selling slaves. I got to make a buck. I got a wife and kid. My kid needs braces. I can't stop selling slaves. And it's the same thing as the corporations that are selling plastics that include some sort of chemicals that affect us as if they were hormones. Nobody can afford to do the right thing if it interferes with their finances. Go ahead, Harvey. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's all right. Maybe the price we're paying now and all the things we're seeing now is our just desserts for all the horrors that we created.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Harvey. I think there is. I believe in the good Lord. I believe that what we see is, in large respect, judgment from the good Lord. And I'm pointing out that part of the reason we get that judgment is because we have failed to understand that there is such a thing as spiritual warfare. We failed to understand, from my perspective, you know, if you believe in Satan, and if you believe there's a possibility of going to hell, Satan isn't going to stand behind you with a pitchfork and march you into hell. Satan will tempt you to do things where you turn your back on God. And if you're going to hell, Harvey, it's because you have consented to go. But it's also true. Bible says those who turn back to God, he'll turn back to them. If you can see the spiritual warfare, if you can see it, you change your ways. You say, wait a second, I'm turned to face the good Lord. He will then turn to face you. You might be able to save this country. The story of what? Nineveh? I believe it was Nineveh in the Bible. Who was in the belly of the whale? I can't even think of it right now. I should be able to, but I can't.
Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah. I'm sorry. I want to say Noah, but it's Jonah. The idea there is the people of Nineveh did change their ways, and God relented, and he said, okay, you guys are going to change your ways? That's part of what I'm trying to communicate. I'm saying, look, there is spiritual warfare taking place, and you can see it if you care to look. A lot of people, no, it's crazy. They don't want to see it. I can't do anything about that. I can only say, look, it's here if you want to see it, you know, in my opinion. And if I'm right, and if the spiritual warfare is going on, problems will be resolved insofar as we turn back to the good Lord. But if you don't want to turn back to him, keep on aborting the babies, the rest of it, we shot the Indians, and one day somebody will shoot us. And it won't make any more difference than it made to shoot the Indians if we're going to operate on the premise that we're all nothing but a bunch of animals. They started out with a completely different premise, and it would have been a wonderful thing if we could have maintained it.
Well, that's why it's so important that we speak out and oppose the evils that we see.
I agree with you.
Frank, and I thank you for opening up your airways to people like me. Thank you very much, Al.
Thank you, Harvey. We appreciate your call.
Thank you, Harvey.
You know, Melody, you were talking before. There's an article in the Daily Ticker. Income inequality explosion. Top 85 equals bottom 3.5 billion. That's the headline. Doesn't seem too articulate. What do they mean, the top 85? They mean the top 85, the richest 85 people in the world control the same amount of wealth as the bottom half of the world's population. 85 people, the top 85 have as much as the bottom 3.5 billion. And they go down and said, that means about 6 people, the number of people it would take to crowd one subway car, have as much of the world's wealth as 3.5 billion people put together. You can't look at that and say, oh, things are working out well. That's intolerable. All right, and I'm not a communist, I'm not a collectivist, I don't believe in distributing wealth, where you say, but I don't have an objection to rich people having wealth. They're entitled to anything they can earn, provided that they didn't earn it by bribing congressmen, senators, and presidents to pass laws to allow them to exploit the vast majority of the people in their country. And that's what basically happens. The principal arena for capitalism in this country right now is on the floors of Congress, where you can go up and buy yourself a congressman, a senator, or presidents in order to make laws. They broker laws. They don't legislate. We've talked about it on the program before. And as a result, the rich are able to bribe your congressman. They call them political campaign contributions, but they're bribes. They bribe them to pass laws to allow the rich to take even more money from the middle class and the poor. I don't care if a man has made $100 trillion all on his own. That's fine with me. But if he has bribed the Congress, he is not entitled to the money he has. And I'll guarantee you that the richest 85, I'll guarantee 75, 80, 84 of them, maybe all 85, are not there by dint of hard work. They are there because they've inherited money. They're there because they bribe people in positions of power who are supposed to serve the people, and in fact they serve the rich. And it can't continue. It can't continue one way or another. This is just too incredible. 85 people in the world, the richest 85, control as much money as the 3.5 billion people put together. This is dangerous, and not just to the people at the bottom end, it's dangerous to the richest 85. The day is going to come when those 3.5 billion, armed with maybe nothing more than pitchforks and torches, are going to come looking for the richest 85. And when it happens, you laugh. I guarantee you, I can't tell you it's going to happen this year, this decade. But you can't maintain that kind of inequality. It just isn't going to be, it cannot be sustained. There's going to be a price to be paid for that. And the poor are going to pay it in the meantime, and when they finally get fed up, they're going to find the rich. They're going to find them. And it will be a dangerous time to be rich in the world. What do you do about it? Well, you got to stop bribing congressmen. You know, you and I can compete, and the rest of the people, we can all compete to see who makes the most money. But that competition cannot include bribing your politicians. If your wealth is based on bribery, you're not entitled to it. If your wealth was accumulated by means of bribery, then one way or another, you're going to be made to give that wealth up. What else, Melody?
Well, we're just about running out of time.
Not quite.
Quick program today.
Yeah.
Very good program today.
Hope so. Yeah, but it does fly. Gee, how the time flies when you're having a rant.
Gee, feel better.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wound up right now. I'm ready.
I'm ready to go another run. There's, come on, step up, come on. You know,
and we do have a question
right now. Come on.
Let's get to a question real quick.
Do it.
According to Washington Times, Admiral Locklear said it is obvious that Chinese military power is growing. He suggested that it is clear whether China will seek to be a hard adversary to the U.S. in the long term. So Washington should be working overtime on steering Beijing toward a cooperative security posture. Is Obama's Asian pivot is only a posturing or an actual military face-off with China?
What the Asian pivot is a recognition that Asia in general and China in particular are going to become far more important than Europe. And it was that by pivoting, they're essentially saying America is going to have to concentrate more of its wealth and power on Asia than it has on Europe. All right. So they've made the pivot. That's happened 5 years or more ago. I don't know, 10 years. I'm not sure. They've made this pivot from Europe to Asia. But what are you going to do about it? You know, China is a force. It's not necessarily an enemy, but it is a force. And it has people to feed and, you know, appetites to satisfy. And we're just now talking about what's going to happen when all of these millions, billions of poor people finally come after the rich. That may seem like an odd question here in the United States. I will bet you that it's a common question in China. Those Chinese premiers are saying, holy cow, what's going to happen when all these Chinamen come looking for us? I don't know. You know, we're out of time and we can't go any deeper into that question. I haven't answered it. But what I'm saying is China has problems. They're going to try to solve their problems as best they can. And everybody just better watch their step. Well, they're not enemies, but they want to survive. So just like everyone else. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, me, Melody. Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.